Today on Seculo, we have breaking news. Israel takes down top Iranian intel officials as the conflict escalates.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host.
Welcome to Seculo. Will Haynes, executive producer here today. And we have a jam-packed show. Make sure you like this broadcast early so it gets the word out to more. And also share it with your friends, because we are going to be first joined by Jordan Seculo in the next segment, who just got done at the UN speaking on behalf of the ECLJ, advocating for Christians that are being persecuted in Congo. And then we'll be joined from Jerusalem by Chris Mitchell, that is the CBN News Jerusalem Bureau Chief, who will be giving us a live report from Jerusalem. And then in the back half, we'll be joined by our own Director of ACLJ Jerusalem, Jeff Balaban, who will be giving us more intel and analysis from what is going on, as he is also in Jerusalem. So a lot of information coming your way. Share this with your friends. Like the broadcast. We've got a jam-packed show. And if you have questions about what's going on or want to weigh in on what we're seeing as this war between Israel and Iran escalates, go ahead and call us at 1-800-684-3110. I'll be taking your phone calls later in the broadcast and throughout today. Go ahead and give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. But what we saw over the weekend was an escalation as Iran showcased that they have what appear to be hypersonic missiles that are able to strike deep within the heart of Israel and are very hard to stop. We saw multiple times these rockets, these missiles slam into the heart of Tel Aviv and other parts of Israel, causing a lot of destruction, a lot of damage, and they're very hard to stop. They're very fast. It's extremely new technology. It leads to questions, of which we will get in today, of how did Iran get these very advanced ballistic missiles while the world has been watching? But then we're also going to talk about what Israel has done, because this was not just one strike from Israel on Friday and then letting things play out and Iran striking back. Israel has been carrying out missions, both, it seems, on the ground in Tehran with Mossad, as well as with the IDF and the Israeli Air Force. And one thing that they keep doing is taking out top leaders within the Iranian regime. These are people that are responsible for the plans, the strategic implementation of these attacks on Israel. And just now we've learned that a new strike has eliminated the head of intelligence for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, his deputy, the head of the Quds Force Intelligence Directorate, and his deputy. These are the top four Iranian intelligence officials that Israel has now taken out. They will no longer be able to sow their terror across the Middle East and the world and target Israel, whether through proxies, through funding of those proxies, supplying weaponry, or directing those proxies to attack Israel, as well as during this very war. Their intelligence capabilities are now a lot less strong than they thought they were. And we're going to see how Israel continues as they continue with this massive intelligence operation to strike at the very heart of not just Iran's nuclear program, but their ability to wage terror across the Middle East and the world. It's astounding to watch. It is very impressive, but the fight isn't over. And we already know that the IAEA, the UN's Atomic Energy Organization, is condemning Israel for their strike on Iran's nuclear capabilities. We know that the ICC is probably already figuring out how to go after Israel for war crimes. And the ACLJ is here to fight back. You can join us. You can stand with Israel. Go to ACLJ.org today to stand with Israel and fight for their very survival. to Seculo. I want to get right into this because we are joined by Jordan Seculo from Geneva, Switzerland at the UN. Hello. Jordan, you just got done presenting to the UN. But first, before we get to that, I want to talk about what's going on with Israel. You happen to be there at the UN. You were there working with ECLJ, and this all unfolded on Friday. Not something you expected to be a part of this mission that you're on, but now is very much a part of it. What are you hearing in Geneva, in Europe, as you're there about the situation between Israel and Iran?
You know, it's been interesting, Will, because in light of what happened on October 7th and in these couple of years that have followed, we've seen the world go from condemning the actions on October 7th to very quickly condemning Israel's response to eliminate Hamas. What we are seeing now after this strike on the Islamic Republic of Iran, not only to protect the survival of the Jewish state of Israel, but also to protect the free world against a radical regime that was on the precipice of nuclear weapons. And so we've seen a lot of calls for ceasefires, the typical European response and UN response. But this is what I want to remind people today. Just behind me is the UN Human Rights Council. Remember, the United States is no longer part of this. I want to set a stage for what it was like in there today. We were talking about the Democratic Republic of Congo, but and no one but us mentioned the entire time that the group of people being killed there happened to be Christians. We were the only group out of all the countries. The second to last country that spoke before I did was the Islamic Republic of Iran. So while they're in a full-scale aerial campaign, at least not a ground war, but aerial war with the state of Israel, they are still at the United Nations, making it very clear that they're going to speak out and send their delegates and representatives into what is the most hostile body to Israel and maybe second, the United States, inside this international body, which is why we're here. I mean, it's why we work with the ECLJ to take these opportunities. Tomorrow is on Israel. Well, we will be present here again, representing our position and the position of our donors and supporters. But just one seat down from me, Will, was UNRWA. And remember, the United States under the Trump administration has just decided in these last 160 odd days to stop funding these groups, and you realize the power that they have, the influence that they have, and why it's so important that we encourage our representatives. And I want to talk to Republicans directly right now and conservatives, because there is this growing rift, and Europeans believe that there is this moment, especially the anti-Israel bloc within inside Europe, that this is the moment to try and divide the pro-Israel sentiment inside the United States. It's why it's so important right now for all the supporters of Israel to make their voice loud and clear, join our petitions, stand up, call your representative, because there are unfortunately not just left-wing Democrats who we would kind of assume to be anti-Israel, but actually those within our own movement who are now preaching this anti-Israel message as if they don't have the right to defend themselves against a nuclear Iran. The world failed in preventing Iran from going nuclear. The world failed. The UN failed. The other agencies of the world, the IAEA, they failed. But they didn't stop warning Israel, Will. They kept telling Israel, this is a serious problem. The IAEA reports are very clear. And so Israel has decided to act. Let's make sure we're standing with Israel. And a great example of that is that Iron Dome system. Now, unfortunately, some of those missiles, as you mentioned, those hypersonic missiles, it looks like, were able to get through that system. But for the majority of the attacks, remember, Israel has air superiority dominance over Iran right now. And fortunately, because of a U.S. military system jointly manufactured with Israel and deployed in Israel, most Israelis will be safe when the bombing and the missiles begin again today.
Jordan, you mentioned being following the Islamic Republic of Iran and UNRWA being just a couple seats down from you. This just shows the importance of the work of the ACLJ. When the U.S. isn't a part of the Human Rights Council anymore, which is the right move, you still have to have the Ministry of Presence, because Israel is outnumbered almost 192-1. Depending on the administration, maybe they get 191-2 if the U.S. is willing to stand with them, but they weren't under the previous 4 years. So the Ministry of Presence, being able to advocate for the Middle East's only democracy in a world where you see what Iran is able to do, is so important. And that's what ACLJ members and donors are a part of. This work, this very work that allows you to be there, sitting within close proximity of these diplomats from UNRWA, from the Iranian Republic, the Islamic Republic of Iran. That is, it's astounding, even as someone who has worked with you for such a long time and it, among this work, it still is so impressive, the work that we are able to do because of the ACLJ members and champions.
That's right. And you know what, Will? We're here because, as you said, we have to be a voice. You know, we don't just represent the United States. We don't represent just Israel. We represent our supporters. And our supporters have a global vision for the persecuted church, for the state of Israel, for Europe as well. You know, I joined you last time I joined you. I was in Hungary and I was meeting with President Orban there. And there's a conservative movement happening. We see it in Italy. We see it in Hungary. We see it in Spain. We see it here. We've seen it in France. We're seeing it across Europe. And there's a list of other countries I could go through. We're actually hosting a reception at the European Center for Law and Justice in just a couple of days with a lot of the members of the European Parliament from those very parties. When I was younger and we were just starting out with the European Center for Law and Justice, those parties didn't exist. They may have existed, but they didn't get enough votes, Will, to even have a representative inside the European Parliament or inside their own country's domestic legislative body. Now they do, and they are winning elections, and then they are having elections taken away from them. I mean, we saw that happen in we saw what happened in Poland recently. We have seen what happened in Romania as well, where a first round of election was declared to be null and void. So this is, it was, of course, a conservative one. So this idea of election integrity is not just a U.S. issue either. And it is so important that we reverse course, that we are not, it is not strange to hear a U.S. accent inside the United Nations in Geneva a decade from now. A decade from now, for your children and grandchildren, let's make sure that we're back and we're back and we're still funding all of this. So let's make sure we have the influence that we should have. And I think what the groups like ACLJ are doing is our government taking a stand saying, we're no part of this anymore. But it's just like how we go to the ICC and we still defend Israel's position there. We've also defended the U.S. military and servicemen and women's position at the ICC. We do it to make sure they have a voice when their governments cannot act because of diplomatic concerns.
And Jordan, just a couple minutes left here before we let you go. And you'll be joining us later this week with more updates from Europe as you continue there. But one other thing when it comes to this whole war that has broken out and the technological advances we're seeing from Iran, it's an unfortunate situation because we at the ACLJ, as we pushed back against the JCPOA, that was the Obama-Biden nuclear deal, one of the big criticisms that we had was that it didn't address the ballistic missile program of Iran, but yet it gave them billions of dollars, it gave them sanctions relief, it gave them a quasi-legitimacy with having this deal with the Americans on the table. And what we now see is, what did Iran do during that period of the JCPOA? They used the cash, the sanctions relief, and no red lines on a ballistic missile program to develop some of the most technologically advanced ballistic missiles we've seen used in warfare at this point. And I think you can directly draw that line to that failed JCPOA. You got about a minute and a half here, but I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, look at the ballistic missiles. I mean, the fact is, I was reading a report on our flight to Geneva this morning and before preparing for today at the United Nations. And this report was from a source inside Israel. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of reporting coming out and it may change by tomorrow, but that they still believe that Iran has, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 ballistic missiles to fire. So on the one hand, to think that, yes, you can take out significant, a lot of ability for Iran to respond. I don't even think we have a clear understanding yet. Maybe the Israeli military does and some of their intelligence sources on the ground. But from just reporting and what we've heard of how damaged Iran is at this point and how damaged the Islamic Republic is and how teetering on the edge of power. At the same time, as you said, while the world's eyes were supposed to be on them, Will, they were able to amass a massive amount of high-tech weaponry, some which is getting through the United States' most advanced anti-missile system developed in the world. So if it's getting through Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, guess where else it could get through? Your city and your hometown. And that's what I think we have to understand is Israel has always been on the front lines on this war against terror. Iran is not just a terror group with rockets. This is a terror group that runs a state that has ballistic missiles and wanted to have a nuclear weapon. And I think just by showing where Iran has targeted, which is not military installations inside Israel, but is Israeli civilians, underscores exactly why Israel had to act and the U.S. must be on the side of Israel.
Thank you, Jordan, for that update from Geneva, Switzerland. Folks, as you can see, the ACLJ is mobilized right now. We are here for this moment. We are in Geneva. We are around the world. We are standing with Israel, and we need you to stand with us. Go to ACLJ.org, donate to stand with Israel as we take on these battles. Welcome back to Seculo, executive producer Will Haynes hosting today. And I'm now joined by Chris Mitchell, who is the CBN News Bureau Chief in Jerusalem. And Chris, we've had you on this broadcast for many years. And I feel like this conflict is a little different than ones we've had you on before. What's your sense on the ground of how it's playing out in Israel and what you're seeing?
Will, great to be with you. I think this is much different than things that we have done in the past. I think we're looking at a historic change potentially here in the Middle East. I would say already we've seen such a change in the last 4 days since Operation Rising Lion began. Obviously, Israel has been taking some hits. Yesterday, I was in Bat Yam. That's where one of the Iranian missiles has hit, destroyed an apartment building. Tragically, 9 people died in that, three children, about 200 injured, about 75 buildings that were damaged to some extent. But what began early last Friday morning really is, I would say, a sea change in the Middle East history, with the potential that we may see a regime change in Iran because of what Israel has been doing to not only take out much of the nuclear infrastructure, air defenses, ballistic missiles, but also targeting much of the headquarters of some of the IRGC, the Iranian army, and eliminating just an amazing amount of senior leaderships in Iran. It's very reminiscent of what happened with Nizan Hezrallah with Hezbollah. But even on a grander scale, we're in historic times right now, and some would say even biblical times.
And when you look at what Israel has been able to pull off, even just now, and we know that this operation is not over, but what we are seeing is, one, the restraint of the Israelis to wait until they felt like it was necessary. The fact, the intelligence gathering, the manufacturing, it appears, of drones within Tehran, and the coordinated effort between the IDF and Mossad and Shin Bet and the Israeli Air Force is something like we've never seen in modern warfare take place. And it really, I think, is a credit to the Israelis of their planning and their waiting until they felt like it was absolutely necessary to carry out such an operation.
The planning has been probably about 20 years in the making, Will. The precision and the intelligence that Israel has been gathering over the years, and the way that they've been able to infiltrate the Iranian leadership. And, you know, when they started eliminating some of the top Iranian leaders, they knew where they were. And they not only knew where they were, but they also had the wherewithal, as you said, some of these drones actually taking in by different parts and then constructed inside Tehran or different parts of Iran. This is just something on a scale. I don't know if any military army has been able to do this with all the intelligence apparatus, as you say, the Mossad and the Shin Bet, putting it all together and then operating in it and releasing it at just the right time. This is just spectacular what they have been able to do and continue to do. Even as we speak, the attacks go on. I believe just a few hours ago, they hit the Iranian television. in Tehran as well. And we're seeing just the consequences of what's happening. We're seeing, you know, thousands and thousands of people from Tehran leaving. And we hear of, you know, the Iranian people rising up like they have before. You know, we've seen this before in the sense of maybe 2009, there was a Green Revolution. And then, but that was brutally suppressed. Again, in 2022 and 23, the protests when Mahshad Amini was killed just for wearing her hijab in an improper way. But this looks very different, Will, that if the people do rise up, it seems like it's a much weaker regime, much less able to suppress any sort of uprising. We were down at Bet Yam yesterday, and when we interviewed Naftali Bennett, a former Israeli prime minister, and he said this is the opportunity for the Iranian people to rise up, that the people of the world will be with you. And certainly what Israel is doing is really making it possible, it seems, for the Iranian people to finally get the freedom that they have cried out for 46 years.
Well, and as you mentioned, back with the Green Revolution under the Obama administration, there really was no support from an American government for there to be real change within the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I feel like it is a different era for many reasons, obviously. But as we look at what lays ahead, you see videos coming out of Iran of people chanting in support of what Israel's doing and against the Ayatollah and the mullahs in Iran. And this is final question here. As we look ahead and we see that they are weakened, we see the intelligence officers being wiped out, the top nuclear scientists, the people within the IRGC that have such a grip on the people of Iran, as they are being taken out, what should we, as the American media consumer that are very engaged and involved with this, what should we be looking for in the days ahead that could maybe show a nod that there could be real change and real regime change in Iran?
Well, just continue to see what's happening on social media. I think we're going to be seeing more videos of people crying out for regime change. Keep your eye out on Reza Pahlavi, who's the son of the late Shah. He's put out a message to the Iranian people and the military in particular to join the people. That could be a game changer, a tipping point as well. I would say also, hopefully, many people are hoping the U.S. would continue to support, even indirectly, Israel, and maybe provide those bunker-busting bombs for Fordo, which is a key enrichment facility. And finally, I know a lot of people are saying pray for the people of Iran, pray for the protection of Israel. Prayer is very, very critical in these tumultuous days.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. We pray for your safety as you report from Jerusalem, as well as for the people of Israel and for the people of Iran. But thank you for this update, and we will hopefully have you on again soon as we continue to watch what's happening in Israel. But folks, as you just heard from Chris Mitchell with a live report from Jerusalem, as you heard from Jordan in the previous segment, who just got out of the Human Rights Council in Geneva, ACLJ is providing you insight and analysis like you won't get anywhere else. And we're not even halfway done with this show yet today. Stay tuned, like the video, just to make sure more people see this analysis. But also know, at the ACLJ, we don't just stop at analysis. We do the work. That's why Jordan is in Geneva. That's why he's there fighting for persecuted Christians in Congo, but also meetings behind the scenes, working to support Israel as the world is already turning. The amount of propaganda and misinformation that the Iranians have been able to flood social media platforms with already is astounding. Their operation when it comes to propaganda is much better than I gave them credit for. And that's why it takes voices like ours to stand with Israel, but also to be able to go to those international bodies like the UN, like the ICC, and fight for the very survival of Israel alongside them. They're taking care of the warfare. We're going after the lawfare. Support the ACLJ today at aclj.org. Become a champion if you can. That's a monthly donor. Thank you.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
Hello, this is our second half hour. Thank you for joining us. What a action-packed and very informative first half hour we had with Jordan joining us from Geneva and Chris Mitchell from Jerusalem. Coming up, we'll be having ACLJ Jerusalem's Jeff Balaban joining us in the next segment with more analysis from Israel. But if you missed that first half hour, I encourage you, go back and watch it. It was really one of the most impressive first half hours we've had in a long time. I was just shocked at how great it was. We were able to get Jordan live from Geneva. And that's all because of the ACLJ supporters and champions that support not only this broadcast, but this entire organization. So we can bring you not just experts from around the world, but our own team on the ground at the UN. He just got done speaking. I'll play, actually, that oral intervention in the final segment of the broadcast that Jordan gave just prior to joining us. But we can't do any of this without you. And that's why it's so important right now to stand with the ACLJ, stand with Israel, and help push back against the coming lawfare we know is going to be starting. If it hasn't already, it is starting in the coming days. But I did want to play this bite because President Trump is in Canada for the G7 summit and was asked about the conflict that is going on, the war between Israel and Iran. So you'll hear a reporter and then President Trump, but let's go ahead and play bite 10. This just happened.
Have you heard any signals or seen any messages from intermediaries that Iran wishes to de-escalate the conflict?
Yeah.
What have you heard? What have you heard from the Iranians?
They'd like to talk, but they should have done that before. I had 60 days, and they had 60 days, and on the 61st day, I said, we don't have a deal. They have to make a deal, and it's painful for both parties, but I'd say Iran is not winning this war, and they should talk, and they should talk immediately before it's too late.
I want to go ahead and take a phone call here, and this is Ann calling from Pennsylvania on line one, and if you want to call in and join the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I'll be taking more calls in the final segment of the broadcast. But Ann in Pennsylvania, watching on Facebook, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. I don't want to take too much of your time, but honestly, that last individual that you interviewed said amazing things. And the strategy aspect of it, knowing how they're going to do this, how long it's going to be, for me, it should be limited. Short and sweet, Israeli, the chosen nation of God in the Middle East is the chosen nation of God. Israelis have suffered probably more than any other religion has ever. And Israel has been fighting this radical Islamic enemy for many, many years. But this is, I just want to say one more thing. But at the end of the day, this has to be short, and we have to be, they can't expect us to yes, the troop, our troops, weapons, finances, endless. No, we want the Middle Eastern eternal wars to end. We can't do this anymore, guys. We can't. We can't afford to lose troops. And the Iranian people, another great thing that your guest said, the Iranian people, they have been fighting for their freedom. And if this is the way for them to do their regime change, I totally, and we as MAGA supporters and you guys, we totally support it.
And I'm only cutting you off because we're running short on time, but I don't think anyone disagrees with you. I think, one, you're seeing that Israel is doing a great job of eliminating this threat, and they're going to continue. And the support of the Americans has been limited in scope at this point. But I also think that you're seeing a difference in what a President Trump, how he approaches this, than how many other presidents in the past would have. And I think it's the right path right now. Supporting Israel doesn't mean we're putting American boots on the ground in the way like Iraq or Afghanistan. We'll get more into that as we come up, and keep watching as we talk with Jeff Balaban on that. But also stay tuned and support the ACLJ, aclj.org. Welcome back to Seculo. I'm joined now by the director of ACLJ Jerusalem, Jeff Balaban, who is in Jerusalem. Jeff, first of all, I just want to say we've been praying for your safety all weekend, but we are glad that you can join us today to give an update on what, I think we should just start there. What is it like on the ground in Israel over these last few days? The Israeli people are resilient. They are strong. They are used to rockets all the time incoming, but this is a little different than previous conflicts with the Iranian proxies, as now it is Iran itself firing ballistic missiles.
Thanks, William, and thanks to you, everyone at ACLJ, my colleagues, and also many of our viewers and listeners and our supporters for prayers and for help. What it's like to be here, it's exhausting. It's hard to get a night's sleep. There's no way to get a night's sleep because there are waves of sirens that go off. The way it works here, the warning system is fantastic. So there are multiple apps. There's a Homefront security app, Homefront Command app, rather. There's a Red Alert app. And by the way, those are probably available everywhere in the world. I know that I will get those updates even when I'm out of this country. And they tell you that you should be, now it's be within, let's say, 90 seconds of a shelter in Jerusalem. They'll give you that warning in advance. Yeah, there's an example of showing targeted areas. And then a major siren goes off. Now, the sirens go off in your neighborhood, and they're very calibrated. So I can be in my apartment and look out the window and see the interceptors overhead, you know, a neighborhood or two over, and the siren will not have gone off in my neighborhood. So there, but nonetheless, many of these, when they do need to send us to shelters multiple times during the night. So that's what's been happening here. Otherwise, and let's also not forget, Israel is still prosecuting a war in Gaza. Israel is still trying to get back its 50 hostages and defang the murderous terrorists who still have control of Gaza. So it's not as though Israel's not fighting on multiple fronts. This is what's catching everyone's attention here. But this is, you said the word, it's resilient. I don't really know of a better word in the English language, but it certainly doesn't even become close to approach the actual resilience of the people of Israel.
Jeff, one thing that you and I were talking about offline, which I think is important to reiterate, I talked about this briefly with Jordan when he was on in the first half hour, but the concern that we had all along, well, among many, with the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the big, beautiful Obama-Iran deal, if you want to use some current terms, big, beautiful, it was anything but that. And one of the major criticisms, among there being no real teeth to it, no real inspections program, but that it did nothing to limit or rein in the ballistic missile program of the Iranian mullahs and the IRGC. And what we're seeing now is when Obama gave Iran pallets of cash, sanctions relief into the billions of dollars, everything that Iran said they needed to help the people of Iran and help their economy, they did what we said they would do the entire time. They spent it on terror with Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis, as well as developing some of the most technologically advanced ballistic missiles we've seen deployed on a battlefield. When you see these hypersonic missiles come down like a lightning strike in the center of Tel Aviv, you can draw that direct through line to the failures of the JCPOA. What was Iran doing during those years? Building these missiles, not helping their people. And I feel like that in and of itself, it shows why Israel had to act now, but also the failures of this appeasement that prior administrations have given to a genocidal theocratic dictatorship in Iran.
Yeah, William, I mean, I couldn't agree more. The JCPOA, I don't know if it was a failure or if it succeeded at what it really intended, which was to install this terrible regime over and above its people, to oppress its people, the Iranian people, and to represent a genuine new power base for America, but a new power base that actually is a purely evil power base, one that seeks, it is has been trying to destroy America, chants death to America, burns American flags, is actively growing its intercontinental ballistic missile program, which obviously is intended not to meet Israel, which they can hit Israel with regular ballistic missiles. It's to reach America. And over, they say that America is the great Satan, that Israel is just the small Satan. We in Israel sitting here are a proxy for the United States of America. That is the great Satan, according to Iran. And the JCPOA blindly is to put the best possible gloss on it. Really, as you say, it unleashed, some estimates are over $150 billion. I mean, billions and billions and billions of dollars to a regime that turned it right into launching major wars against American interests directly and, of course, against Israel. And all of this, every part of this is a result of, at best, a feckless American ideology and regime, or at worst, a really mendacious one. And Israel, across the board politically, was against JCPOA. In America, I recall very well that the Obama administration and John Kerry, they accused American Jews of being disloyal Americans for opposing the JCPOA when it wasn't even so. Most Americans thought this was a terrible deal, and it turns out it was a terrible deal. The wars that we're seeing now, from October 7th to now, are 100% a result of JCPOA and the shift from America to paying attention to what Iran was trying to do, to go nuclear and weaponize, to listening to America say, no, Iran rather, saying, no, we don't mean that. We don't mean it when we say death to Israel. You can trust us that we want to have just peaceful nuclear power. It's ridiculous.
Well, and Jeff, once again, we have to combat those that are on their perfect little platforms on social media that try to say, oh, we're being drug into another war by Israel, or this is going to cost American lives. The ignorance when it comes to the global affairs in Iran is astounding, even that we're seeing on the right. And I feel like, if anything, this operation should be what most of the world would support. Right now, it's been very minimal American support, other than the defense agreements we have with Israel. I'm sure there is intelligence sharing, the communication between the United States and Israel. But this isn't America, American adventurism that we've seen maybe in the past. This is eliminating a real threat to global order. And this is the Israelis doing it mostly on their own, with one of the most beautifully planned military operations I've ever seen and will be in history books because of how well it's been executed.
I mean, God willing that it ends up well, but there's no question, William, that this is a proximate, imminent danger to the continental United States of America. It's already evidence that it's danger to our assets elsewhere, because they have been, Iran and its proxies have been blowing up American assets, murdering Americans, for years and years and years, and America's done almost nothing to respond. Israel, because it is imminently subjected to existential threat, is finally being forced to respond. And thank God Israel's doing it. But yes, Israel is currently prosecuting America's war. And the fact that there are voices who claim to be pro-America, who claim to be America first or part of Make America Great Again, and who are claiming otherwise, they are not. They're indistinguishable in their policies from the most extreme radical leftist, from the Squad, from Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. They're indistinguishable. It's driven, it seems to be, nothing more than hatred of Jews in Israel, because and they've lost their love for America underneath that. And groups like ACLJ and the Christian supporters of ACLJ and the other supporters of ACLJ, it's so important to stand up for the truth here, which really could not be more obvious, and fight against those voices.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. As I mentioned earlier, we will continue to be praying for your safety, for the safety of the people of Israel, and for those of the people of Iran that are under this genocidal, theocratic dictatorship, whose entire theology is trying to usher in the apocalypse by bringing the 12th Imam forward. This is not someone who should have hypersonic ballistic missiles that can rain down, and that should be developing a nuclear weapon program, because we know what they will do with it. This isn't a rational regime. This is, as I've said many times, a genocidal, theocratic dictatorship that oppresses its people And for far too long, even the leadership of the United States has not been willing to even throw even lip service to those in Iran that are oppressed. But all that is changing. And you're even seeing, even now, the President of the United States saying, if they're willing to really talk, we will really talk with them. But what you see is that Iran uses talks to delay. And as they delay, what are they doing? They're building new technologies. They're funding terror groups across the region. They're funding terror cells across the world. They have no real desire to limit what they can do because they have an end goal. And we know that end goal. The ACLJ has been studying and talking about this and fighting back against this for decades. This isn't new to us. The world may now be seeing it. And that's why you, as an ACLJ supporter, need to stand with us as we stand not just with Israel, which we do aggressively and effectively, but we will stand with the world as we champion liberty and freedom around it. Give today at ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Seculo, final segment of the broadcast today. It has been a jam-packed show. We had Jordan live reporting from Geneva, where he just spoke at the UN Human Rights Council. We had Chris Mitchell, the bureau chief of CBN News in Jerusalem, reporting there. We had Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem with more insight. If you are just now joining us, you missed a lot. When this segment's over, go back and watch the rest of the hour. It was incredible. That's what the ACLJ can bring you through our media efforts, through our people on the ground. You're getting analysis like you won't see anywhere else. And we're telling you the truth. We're cutting through the spin. We're cutting through the misinformation. We're going directly to the heart of the issue. But it's not just our media presence. It's not just this broadcast. It's the actual work our lawyers and our diplomatic team and those around the world that are working daily to fight for what you believe in. And you can be a part of that when you support the ACLJ. It's our members and our champions. Champions are those that give on a monthly recurring basis. We couldn't do any of this without you, but we do it very well with you. So if you can, go to ACLJ.org and give today, because this is a very important moment. But I also wanted to play this because all of what we've been talking about today has been focused on the war between Iran and Israel. But we don't just focus on one thing at a time. Our attorneys are able to handle many things at the same time. Multitasking is what one of our specialties is here at the ACLJ. And Jordan was at the Human Rights Council. It was already planned before the war broke out. So through God's providence, he's there and he can be working on this issue of Israel right now. But also, he was there to raise awareness about the persecution and killing of Christians in Congo that is going on right now. We sent a letter to Secretary of State Rubio raising this issue just last week. But Jordan's also in Geneva, bringing this attention to the Human Rights Council with the representative from Iran a few seats down one way and the representative from UNRWA a few seats down the other way. So I want you to watch this and hear the other work we're doing simultaneously, because you won't hear about it every single day, all the things going on at the ACLJ on this broadcast. We'll bring you as much as we can, as quickly as we can. But some things, just know, our attorneys are working on tirelessly while the world is focused on other things. So I want to play this for you because it's very important, because we fight for the persecuted and those that don't have a voice, that are overlooked around the world. So take a look at this. This is Jordan just earlier today. And then I'll be right back with you.
The first on my list is European Center for Law and Justice.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Violence against Christians in the Democratic Republic of the Congo has reached alarming levels in recent months. In February 2025, the ADF, a terrorist group affiliated with the Islamic State, massacred 70 Christians in brutal attacks that targeted places of worship. These atrocities are part of a broader campaign of terror. Between January and February of 2025, a child was sexually assaulted every 30 minutes, and over 7 million people are now internally displaced. We welcome the resolution adopted by the European Parliament in April 2025, condemning these attacks and recognizing their religious dimension, but this council must also act. As is often the case, the violence is driven not only by ideology, but by the desire to control strategic national resources. Armed groups exploit this chaos to enrich themselves, while Christian communities continue to bear the brunt of the violence. We respectfully urge the independent international fact-finding mission on human rights abuses and violations in the provinces of North Kivu and South Kivu to include in its investigations the specific targeting of Christian communities. While the resolution rightly addresses human rights violation in the context of this conflict, it does not address the religious dimension. That must change. The ECLJ therefore calls on this council to acknowledge the religious charter of the persecution against Christians in Eastern DRC, support international mechanisms to investigate and prosecute crimes against humanity, and ensure the protection of displaced and targeted populations. Thank you.
That was Jordan Sekulow just earlier, minutes before this broadcast today, before the UN Human Rights Council, advocating for those in Congo that are persecuted for being Christian, being killed for their faith. So at the same time that he's working on issues of silencing conservative speech in Europe and also working on the lawfare we know that is coming against Israel, he's also doing that work, advocating for the voiceless around the world that are killed just because they are Christians. It's something that, fortunately, in the United States, we don't have to really face real persecution. We see weaponization of the government against Christians. We talked about that last week, where our clients in Chicago were arrested simply for exercising their First Amendment rights and preaching the gospel on the streets there. And we're having to fight a criminal case against them. Meanwhile, we see those riots from LA spreading across the country and taking over Chicago, them having to shut down streets, suspend bus service. Those were happening pretty much at will. But if you are a peaceful presenter of the gospel, you were arrested because they were weaponizing an ordinance against people of faith, people wanting to share their faith. So we have weaponization against Christians here in the United States, but we don't have full-on persecution like we see around the world. But the ACLJ can handle both. We can fight in court, defending our clients criminally, and then suing Chicago for that ordinance, which is being unjustly weaponized against Christians and unfairly applied. So we can do that, but we can also go to the UN in Geneva, and we can fight for the voiceless in Congo and around the world wherever persecution is happening. We have a big team. We have a very powerful team. We have a great team. And that's all because of you. Those of you that support the ACLJ allow us to be able to have that broad of scope, that we can be in local court defending Christians in a criminal proceeding in the state of Illinois, as well as suing in federal court, Illinois, as well as being in Geneva advocating for the persecuted, as well as having an office in Jerusalem where you're getting live reports about what's happening in Israel. I don't know of another organization that could bring you all that. And then we bring you the information daily on this broadcast, Monday through Friday. And we tell you what's happening in the world. We cut through the lies and the misinformation. You have to hand it to the Iranian regime on one thing. Their misinformation operation got cranked up as soon as that strike happened on Iran. And it is disgusting what you're seeing on X right now and on social media. But that's why we're here, to push back against all of that. And you can be a part of it. You can join the ACLJ in this battle. You can stand with us. You can stand with Israel. You can stand with Christians in Congo or street preachers in Chicago. Go to ACLJ.org and become a champion of life, liberty, and freedom. Your monthly donation continues to fund these fights around the world. It's very simple. ACLJ.org/champions. Become a monthly donor. And you can help continue these battles across the world. But if you can't give monthly, just go to ACLJ.org and make a one-time donation. It takes champions, it takes members, and it takes you to continue these fights. ACLJ.org.